For the next 3 days, we're going to bring a teaching on the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power. I noticed that we passed out those books, but I learned something by passing out those books. I bet you I've given out hundreds of those books, and hardly anybody is doing the message. The people that I gave those books to, the majority of them aren't even doing in this message. They're not. They're not. I know you're probably doing it. Amen. But I pray those that took those books, I pray you read it.
Amen.
And not just read it. I had a guy one time that read it. He goes, I already know this. I said, that's the problem. You know it. You're not doing it. Don't shout me down now. Don't shout me down.
Amen.
But the thing is that you've got to do the message. And what I'm hoping to endeavor over this weekend is that you will begin to understand that God did something in you that he really didn't have to do. Uh-oh. But he did it anyway because he loved you. So tonight, we're going to endeavor to get into this book. I'm not going to go line upon line, precept upon precept. I'm going to go over the meat of the chapter. So the reason why we're starting early, because the first chapter, it's not really a lot of meat, but it's good. So let's talk about the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about, and tomorrow I'm going to bring some cards if you have questions. Tonight, if you have a question, you can write it down. So let's talk about chapter one. And again, I may not go page per page, paragraph per paragraph, but I'll tell you the topic. The first topic is the Holy Spirit works within. Now, sit back and listen to this and allow the Spirit of God to begin to tell you this. I will let you know when it's time to take notes, but I pray that this weekend, what you can do is just simply listen to what God is doing, what he's saying to your heart, and let that register. Let me say this. Please don't leave here thinking, man, that was some good information. You ought to be hearing something every hour that you can put into practice.
Amen.
And you should be putting it into practice. Amen?
Amen?
Before the foundation of the world, God designed a perfect plan for mankind. Perfect. It was without flaw. He planned every intricate details of every life that would live on the face of the earth. His desire was to recover as many as possible from Satan's rebellious camp and gather to himself a people he could call his family. So God wants to have a family. The purpose of Christianity is not so you can belong to a denomination. The purpose of Christianity is so that you can have a loving Heavenly Father and know how to relate to him, okay? In the midst of God's divine planning, your name came up. Your name came up. Even before you even thought about. You weren't even an imagination. You weren't even an object. But before you were born, God thought about you. And guess what he did? He formulated a perfect plan for your life. He came across your name and he said, this is what my plan is for this person's life. So if you're sitting in this room, if you are alive, God has a perfect plan for you. In the midst of his divine planning and deciding things for your life or developing this plan for your life, he decided precisely how you should live your life while you're on the face of the earth. Precisely. You're not left to yourself. Now, here's our choice. We must choose his plan. In his plan, we were predestined. Now, church doesn't understand what this word predestination means. People think that God took a dart and went, and wherever he landed, that's where you're going to finish. That's not predestination. Predestination says, based upon the decisions that you make, you're going to end up here. So your predestination could change every hour. Could change every minute depending upon what kind of decisions that you're making. That's why I don't believe in once saved, always saved. Hope I didn't offend anybody. Because it's based upon the decisions that you make for him every day. You may make it one morning and go, you know what? I don't think God loves me, and begin to walk out of the kingdom. God's not going to fight with you. He's going to do all that he can to get people across your pathway. He's going to try to get the Holy Ghost to speak to you. Well, not try, but he will get him to speak to you. But he's going to try to persuade you that you're going the wrong way. But the thing is this. You have to choose. You have to choose. You've got choices to make every day, but he has predestined for you to become his sons and daughters. That was his decision for sending Jesus to the cross. But one obstacle stands between you and God's perfectly conceived plan and purpose for your life, and that is your free will. That's his biggest challenge, is your free will, because he will never violate your free will. He will never take that back. He will never infringe upon that free will. Many people have asked, well, Pastor, why didn't, when Adam was about to eat the apple, or Eve was about to eat the apple, why didn't God just go down and go, don't do that? Because he gave him a free will. Many people ask sometimes, why do bad things happen to good people? You got a free will. You get to choose. You get to choose. God is not up there being a puppeteer and telling you what you have to do. He's laying out a plan for your life and saying, I suggest that you follow my plan. Now get this. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, God is attempting to intersect our lives with his plan. He's always doing it. Man, you're sitting here right now. You think you came because somebody invited you. No, you came because of God's plan. Don't shout me down now. You came because God said, bam, I got him here. You may think you're somebody's guest. No, you're God's guest. God got you here. He intersected your life. You didn't just stumble in here. This was a divine moment. Now, you could have got to the door and went, I ain't going in there. And guess what God would have done? He would have respected your choice. But you know what he would have done next? He'd have turned right around and started planning the next time he could intersect your life. He doesn't stop. So having heard that, how can we fail? We shouldn't. But we see Christians failing all the time. When we accept Jesus, we take our first step into the plan of God that is predestined for us before the foundations of the world. That is your first step, is to accept him. The truth is, God formulated a perfect plan for every person born since Adam. He only waits for that person to find out what that plan is and then choose to walk in it. Now, I can tell many of you here, you're looking at me going, plan? What plan? Where did I find this plan? I've been reading the Bible. I ain't seen the plan. My name ain't even in the Bible. Now, I guess if your name is Adam or Noah, you may be in the Bible. But that ain't the plan God has for your life. So the thing is this. If God has a plan and he knows the plan, wouldn't it make sense that he'd have an avenue to get the plan across to you? So if you haven't heard what the plan is, and don't raise your hands, because I don't want to know. Just leave me in my ignorance. All I know is there was some time ago, I didn't realize he had a plan for my life either. And your plan is not going to church. Your plan is not attending a Bible study. The plan that he has for your life is that you would live a wholesome life. His plan for your life is that you would live a life free of sin. His plan for your life is that you would live a life of opulence. His plan for your life is that you would live a life sickness and disease free. That's his plan for your life. His plan for your life is not for you to walk around going, I wonder how this is all going to turn out. That is not his plan for your life. That is El Diablo's plan for your life. Matthew 7:13. A majority of people will end their lives with one final journey into a godless eternity. If a person never knows Jesus or fulfills God's plan for a life, it doesn't change the fact that God had a perfect plan of redemption and a purpose for that particular person. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. People are going to hell every day, and they don't know what God's plan for their lives. They don't have a clue. But let me say this to you. The moment you leave this earth, we all become believers. Now, you can't go to heaven then. Too late. But the moment we leave the earth, when you get out in eternity, you go, there was a God. It's too late. It's too late. So make your decision now. So let's switch over and find out. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. Let's find out what his role is in this. Because when God came up with this plan, the Holy Spirit was there with his notepad. And he listened intently to every detail of your life. Every detail. As the Father planned your birth, your ministry, your prosperity, and every aspect of your redemption. See, he did not leave you alone. The Bible says, Jesus said these words, he did not leave you orphanos. He did not leave you without a father. He did not leave you to make it on your own. He has a plan. Now I'm going to spend some time with this because I want to get across to you. You're sitting here wondering, well, why are things happening where they are? It's not God's fault because you have not elected to find out what his plan. His plan doesn't come floating across because you go to a church. His plan doesn't come floating across your pathway because you are affiliated with a certain denomination. His plan is revealed to you as you spend time with the third person of the Godhead. That's how you get the plan. The Holy Spirit is the one assigned to overseeing God's plan for your personal life. I'm going to get down and tell you in a few minutes that the Holy Spirit has three objectives in your life. I'll give them to you now. His first objective is to make sure that you understand and know God's plan for your life. Number two, he's to make sure that you make it to heaven. And number three, make sure that you get a glorified body. We'll go into those in a few minutes. Okay? This is why you're here. Now, I'm not here to give you information so you can get puffed up. I want to give you information that you can go out of here and use and begin to turn your life around. Even if your life, if you've been walking with God, as you read this book, as you hear this message, new things are going to pop in place. You're going to hear new ideas. The Holy Spirit is going to say things. You're going to go, wow, I never heard that before. I have read the book that many of you received tonight. I have read this book probably 10, 20 times. I've studied the book. I teach the book. And the thing is, every time I read it, every time I prepare it, including this time, he showed me so many more things I didn't even see. Now, the problem with me doing a seminar like this, you know what the problem is? It ain't having enough material. It's which material to choose and which to leave out. Because I could be preaching here to midnight, and you'd be going, Pastor, they're passing out in the floor. They're falling asleep. You need to let them go home, you know? See, you think the Apostle Paul was long-winded. I can be long-winded too, bless God. So he is the one, the Holy Ghost is the one that is assigned to overseeing God's plan for your personal life. There is no one or nothing better to represent and present that plan to you because he was there when the Father planned your life. Number three, the Holy Spirit is co-equal with the other two members of the Godhead. He is none diminished. He is as much God as God the Father is and Jesus Christ. You're walking around with somebody, you, that is just as powerful as God is. God the Father is. When people say, well, God said this. Well, who are you referring to? You're referring to God the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit? All three of them are God. They make up the Godhead. And they're equally, they have the same kind of power. They read each other's thoughts. They can complete each other's sentences. They always think the same. They don't change their mind from day to day. But he is as much God as God the Father is. He has consented before the foundation of the earth to take up residency within you, within your spirit, and offer his services to you. The service that he offers to you is as you pray to begin to change you into the image of the Father's Son. That's what he does. He will change you into his image. The church now thinks they got to change themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't have enough power to change yourself. You don't. You need the power of the Holy Spirit within you. And we're going to talk about this here in a few moments. But many of us have been born again. He's come in. He's taken residency. But we have not allowed him begin to move in our lives and change our lives and show us God's plan for our lives. Now, I'm going to get into an area here right now that's probably going to make some of you go, oh! It's called your prayer language. If you don't have your prayer language before you leave this conference, before you leave this rally, we need to get with you and help you receive your prayer language. The day he moved in, the very day he moved in, well, Pastor, I got born again when I was 8 years old. He moved in that day. Now, listen what he brought with him. He brought a supernatural language from heaven called tongues. He brought it with him, and he began to generate that language on the inside of you. But because you were not taught, or because you didn't yield, or because you were taught differently, you didn't allow him, you didn't allow those tongues to become a fruition in your life. You didn't allow them to come out the way they should, because you thought, what will my friends say? What will my family say if they hear me praying in tongues? Well, how can you say that, Brother Craig? Because that's what I thought. What am I going to tell my friends going home that I pray in tongues? And what I didn't know, my buddy, he was in the other room. He got tongues. So we didn't tell each other for about two or three weeks. And finally one day I said, hey, man, I got something. I said, I don't know how to explain it to you. I said, but I was given something, and I got something that night. And I don't know how to explain it, but see, that's the deal. I didn't know what I had, but I received it. And I would go home, and I would, shambara mukera noko sakatata. But I wouldn't pray around anybody else. And then he and I got to talking one day. And I said, hey, man, I've received something. It's called tongues. He goes, I got it too. Glory to God. With your prayer language, he gets involved directly with you on a one-on-one basis in a relationship. And in that plan, that one-on-one relationship is independent of anyone else, even of your own mind, of your own kind. God doesn't care who prays in tongues with you. God doesn't care who encourages you to pray in tongues. He gets involved with you one-on-one. When the Holy Spirit prays for you, he takes the plan that he hears from God, and he utters and pours it through your spirit. The language that he uses to express that plan as it flows through you is a supernatural language called tongues. He will use that language to pray for you, pray for your calling, to pray out the plan of God for your life, to edify you, to build you up. The church is sadly lacking. You aren't built up on your spirit, man. Many of you have character flaws. Many of your character is shaky and sometimes just ragged at best, because you haven't allowed the Holy Ghost to go in there and develop your character. But the world is always trying to help you develop your character, but the world doesn't know anything about the character of God. None of it. None. But the Holy Spirit does. And his job is to help you, edify you, and to change you with his power. He will lend himself to you as your faith allows him to be activated within your spirit. In the book of Jude says to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. As you allow this supernatural language to flow through you, he'll continue to build you up. He'll continue to change you. Now, the thing is this, when people pray in tongues for a week or so, and they're looking around going, where's the change? You're looking in the wrong place. The change starts on the inside, and it comes from the inside out. That's where all permanent change takes place. And I will say that several times this week. He will also pull everything out of you that Jesus has set you free from into everything that Jesus says you are in him. God's plan is in the realm of the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is in you. The Holy Spirit is armed with the knowledge of everything here about God's redemption plan for your life before the foundation of the earth. And every time he searches your heart, he does it with the intention to play that very plan to fruition. The mind of God concerning you into existence. That's why you're praying in the Spirit. Now we're going to get into some teaching. How many of you know what natural law is? All right. How many have heard of the law of sin and death? How many of you know about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus? Those are really of the two laws that govern the realm of the Spirit. You're either living by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or you're walking according to the law of sin and death. People say, well, why did that pastor do that? Because he was walking in the law of sin and death. He was not walking in the law of the Spirit of life. But the Holy Spirit is an executor, or the executor, of spiritual law. Natural law governs circumstances that surround us, causing things for us to go against us. Now, folks, let me say this to you. We don't live in a perfect world. We live in a fallen world. People sometimes ask me, well, why is that child born with no eyes? Why is that child born deformed? Because we live in a fallen world. It wasn't God's design. God didn't design any child to be without something. But because we live in a fallen world, God has set something into motion called procreation. Procreation just means God's not in heaven making spirits and sending them to earth. God is, you are doing that. When a man and woman get together, that's instantaneously, the sperm meets the egg, that life is created. He put that in you. That's part of his glory in you. This is why we've taken these things and dumbed them down. In the 60s, we had this thing called, you know, love power. If it feels good, do it. And it was the devil's attack against the church, to dumb down the church. But here's the thing. You're either walking according to the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, or you're walking according to the law of sin and death. Now, here's how I explain these two laws. How many know what the law of gravity is? What does the law of gravity mean? If I let go of this apparatus, what's going to happen? Well, how about now? You mean every time I let go, it's going to drop to the ground? That's why it's called the law. It works the same way every time. Now, bring it over into the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It never fails. It never fails. But you got to learn how to walk in it. It doesn't fail. God is not a failure. He hasn't failed at anything. And because mankind failed, that wasn't his fault. He gave mankind a free will. Okay? Now, he's had to start the thing over a couple of times, but guess what? It's not his fault. It's our fault. But the bottom line is this. We want to learn how to allow the Holy Spirit to execute the spiritual law in our lives. You have been given power. You've been given dominion. When I go to a hospital room and I speak to cancer, it's supposed to leave. Amen. When I talk to the rain, it's supposed to stop. Amen. I know that's kind of strange for you, but you've been living below your privileges. Amen. You're living below your privileges. Right. I was meeting with someone this morning, and she said, Pastor, I didn't know it was going to be raining over here today because you over here. I thought you did like the rain. And I went, well, you know, okay, you're right. But I can tell you this, as I was driving in, I was binding it, man. Amen. And it wouldn't stop. You mean you're not ashamed to say that? Not at all. I'm the one imperfect, not him. But I can tell you what, there's coming a day when I tell it to stop, it's going to obey me. Right. We haven't had a hurricane in Houston, Texas for almost 5 years. Well, Pastor, one that we have one next year. Why don't you get on our side? Amen. Why you want a hurricane to come and tear stuff up? I think it's great. But there's coming a time when the body of Christ is going to begin to execute their spiritual authority and said, hurricane, cease. And guess what will happen? It'll stop. Amen. That's the kind of power that we have, folks. Amen. And the reason why we're not executing it, number one, we don't know about it. Number two, our character isn't sound enough. And number three, we haven't established ourselves in it. But we're going to do it. When we spend any amount of time praying in the Holy Ghost or praying in tongues, what you're doing is you're uttering divine secrets or those spiritual laws. He is beginning to allow the spiritual authority to come into your life, and he's trying to change things. And one of the first things he'll change is the way you make your decisions. You'll quit asking somebody, well, do I have to forgive them? Do I have to forgive him, Pastor? See, you're not on his side. If you're asking questions like that, you don't know him very well. For God so loved the world that he gave. Before he could have gave, he had to forgive. He never would have gave if he hadn't first forgave. So he's forgiving you. Now, the thing is this. You think he's going to ask less of you? No. Why? Because you're made in his image and his likeness. Amen? The Holy Spirit then employs those laws, those spiritual laws, to see that circumstances, natural laws, begin to line up with the perfect plan, God's perfect plan for our lives. When I get to heaven, we're going to be amazed of the things that were thwarted because we prayed in other tongues. You're going to be absolutely amazed. He's going to show you, because you prayed in tongues, you thwarted this from happening in your life. Let's talk about the great exchange. Trading our plan for God's plan. In Romans 8, 27, 28 declares that as we continue to pray in the Spirit, that there is a supernatural exchange that takes place in our spirit as we pray in other tongues. This verse means that as we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit literally, let me stop. Somebody read that real quick, please. Romans 8, 27 and 28. And you can read my favorite scripture, which is Romans 8, 26. And by the way, these scriptures many times have been mistaught. And I'm not here to correct anybody. I'm just here to tell you, God did not design bad things to happen to you. In Romans 8, 20, I think it's 8, 29, I hear it all the time. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and called according to his purpose. So God put this cancer on my mama because it's working together for her good. Lie. You're wrong. I don't care who you are. You're wrong. That isn't God. Where would God get cancer from? Huh? Where would he get the cancer from? If he put the cancer on you, why are you trying to get it off? You really think that if he put it on you, you're going to get it off? No, I don't think so. Somebody read Romans 8, 26, 27, 24, I get in trouble. Stop. Now, I'm going to let you know what that likewise is this weekend. See, you've read that verse and understood. Likewise. Why don't you say likewise? When I hear stuff like that, I go, likewise? It's like something he's already said. Go ahead.
We should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us without groaning, which cannot be uttered.
That's what verse was that?
26.
Read 27.
And he that searched the heart knows.
Who is searching the heart? Listen, he hasn't mentioned the Holy Ghost until verse 16 and verse 26. Now go back and say it again. He hasn't mentioned the Holy Ghost until verse 16 and verse 26. Now verse 27, he said, he the Holy Ghost, he's in there searching your heart. Go ahead.
He that searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God.
He prays according to what? What he's saying is he's praying according to God's will for your life. That was that verse 27?
Yes.
What's 28?
And we know that all things work together.
Stop! You missed a word. Stop! Go back at the beginning. Are you in the King James Version? Okay, read the first verse. Say it again. Nope. It says what? Well, I'm not an English teacher, but what does the word and mean? Any English teachers here? What does the word and mean? And connects that verse to the previous verse. Well, you can't go to 28 until you first go to 28, 26, 27. And if you look at 27, it also says and. See, you got to assimilate these verses, man. When you start putting together and you start listening to what Paul was saying, all of a sudden you're going, I've been taught wrong. And, go ahead. Listen, he's not saying whenever you have a catastrophe, that's working together for your good. What he's saying is after you've prayed in the Spirit, after you've prayed in tongues, all those things work together for your good.
Amen.
Every time I hear someone teach on that, I go, oh, you going to hear about that in heaven, man. God's going to pull you by the appendix and come here. You got that wrong. Now, does that mean I don't have anything he's going to talk to me about? Oh, he talks about them all the time. He's talking about me all the time. And I go, you mean I got that wrong? He goes, yeah. You know what he always tells me? Quit taking those verses out of context. If you leave them in context, they'll say what they're supposed to say. Where most preachers get in trouble is they take a verse out of context. I'll give you another one. Give. And it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. Where do you hear that message most times taught? At offering time. He ain't talking about an offering at all there. You know what he's talking about right there? You know what he's talking about there? I'll admit you go back and read it so I don't tell you. He's talking about forgiveness. When you give what they've taken from you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together. Don't sue them. No, because I'm going to give back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. He'll not leave you diminished. That's what that verse means. But when you take them out of context, they can say anything. What else does he do? He prays the perfect plan into your spirit. So not only do you know what you're called to do, but he'll even show you how to fulfill the call in the perfect timing. Listen, I almost missed my timing for this ministry. He told me to start it. Remember that? He told me to start it. But I'm going, who's going to pay for it? And I was asking the wrong questions. Listen, you'll find out around here, we don't beg you for an offering. Can I say it? I don't care if you give a dime tonight. I don't care if you give a dime tomorrow. Don't give anything in them blue buckets. Why? If God has to have a shipment in Korea or in China, write me a check for $10,000, he'll do it. I don't trust you, but I trust him. I walk by faith. Now listen, if more pastors start walking that way, you'll quit saying, if you don't give, we're going to lose the building. If you don't give, we won't be able to do this. We ought to knock that stuff off. Why? Because if we walk by faith, we wouldn't be begging you for money. Listen, if he don't support this ministry, guess what we're going to do? Shut them doors. It's his deal. I didn't decide to do it. Listen, you don't think I wouldn't be here on Thursday night, Friday night, and Saturday? I got other things I could be doing than sitting here preaching at you, teaching you. But this is my assignment. I don't have a choice anymore. This is what he called me to do. But the point is this. He called me. He'll provide. He'll provide. But the point is this. He allows us to help others. Listen, we help other ministries. We want to develop the kingdom of God, not just ourselves. Amen? He'll begin to trade your natural plans and ideas for his through the supernatural realm of exchange of tongues for personal edification. This is where we're going. The Holy Spirit, he helps us find our calling. No one knows our calling better than the Holy Spirit. He was in the presence of God when he called us and when he planned our lives. That's why he brought a supernatural language with him when he came to live inside of us. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, when we speak in an unknown tongue, our human spirit is doing the praying and our understanding is unfruitful. So in essence, the Holy Spirit creates the supernatural language on the inside of your spirit man, and then he transfers that language to you and the authority as well. It takes place in your spirit man, and it all is generated from who? The third person of the Godhead called the Holy Ghost. Do you realize what's going on inside of you? Do you realize what God did for you? Do you realize you're laboring in vain? Do you realize you've been doing something you ain't got in the business doing? All you got to do is sit back and brokla shandala kahaya orendelo maradaya. And he does the rest. But you have to give him the authority. Now I'm going to tell you something. You are now beginning to start seeing why he talks so many people out of praying in tongues. Because if he can't get you to not pray in tongues, he's going to get those around you. I wasn't praying in other tongues. That Pastor Craig, he a nut. All he do is pray in tongues. He don't do nothing else, pray in tongues. That's all he do is pray in tongues. What's he doing? The devil's trying to talk you out of the ministry of the Holy Ghost. That's what he's doing. He's trying to talk you out of God's plan for your life. Now, they don't realize they're doing that, but I'm telling you something. I've come to realize that's what they're doing. The enemy is using them to convince you to quit praying. See, the devil can't come down and say, Robert, you ain't praying today, and if you do, I'm shutting your mouth. I'm going to sew it shut. He can't do that. But what he can is he can come and get around somebody like Jonathan, and Jonathan goes, you ain't got to pray today. I wouldn't go pray to that. Man, I wouldn't believe all that mess. I just wouldn't get involved in it if I was you. Now, Robert's got to make a decision. Is he trusting God or trusting Jonathan? Well, Jonathan didn't save him. Who saved him? God saved him. So I suggest he trust God. The divine transfer enables us as individual members of the body of Christ on this earth to pray in tongues with authority of God, knowing that the other two members of Godhead will answer our prayer. Do you realize every time you pray in tongues, God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, they're going, answered, 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 answered.
Hallelujah.
All the promises of God. Oh, yes and amen. There's not one prayer you prayed in tongues. Now, here's the thing. You want the answer the next few minutes. Nothing wrong with that, but you're not established in it yet. How many were here that my message on the voice of God? God told me to go do something. You go do it and it falls apart. Well, God, what happened? I can tell you what happened. You didn't hear from God. God doesn't make mistakes. All right, I don't want to run out of time. God's way is the best. How can we get the tremendous power of the Holy Spirit that resides on the inside of us, the power that raised Jesus from the dead, out into our problems that we face every day? How do you do that? Do you realize the power in you was to be used for your problems and your trials and your testing? Well, there's a way you can release that power. Oh, you ought to be saying amen. and saying, Pastor, when are you going to do it? Well, for $19.95, we will send you the CD. I'm kidding. But you're already going, I want to hear this. I want to hear this. Why? Because it's all real. And even more importantly, he will help you discover your call that he has set aside for you. God entrusted us to the Holy Spirit as a whole, as a sole way to get him, to get his power into our issues and challenges that we face. You're not left alone. Let's talk about God's strategies, God's wisdom, and God's strategies. The devil will use a litany of weapons that can only be defeated by the wisdom of God. The devil sneaks into unbeknown to you and steal the word of God out of you. That's Mark 4. The Bible says this, a sower sows the word. Isn't that right? And then Jesus said what? He said that some fell on shallow ground, some fell on stony ground, some fell on thorny grounds, and then some fell on good grounds, and it produced a hundredfold return. Well, why aren't we as Christians producing more of a hundredfold return? Don't shout me down now when I'm beginning to preach real good. Gets quiet in this Presbyterian church. I wonder why. Why aren't we getting a hundredfold return? Why is it in the book of John, it says, whatever you ask, you shall receive. Why are we receiving it? You're right. We haven't found God's plan for our lives. We're not walking with him. In most cases, we're walking against him and don't even know it. But there's a way, folks, that we can change all this. Amen? Jesus said, told us in these verses that the devil comes, or excuse me, in John 10:10, he says the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And do you know something? He's very good at it. He's very good at it. He doesn't do anything else but these three things. These things have been especially the hint ever since his light went out of him when he fell from heaven, as Isaiah 14:12 says. If you misjudge him, if you don't take him seriously, he will destroy you. He'll destroy your family. He'll destroy your career. He'll destroy your ministry. If you don't understand how potent, how lethal the devil is, people say, well, he didn't have any power. He's got some kind of power. Where's cancer coming from? He's got some kind of power. If any power he has the power of persuasion too. He is not an enemy to be taken lightly or mocked. He's smart, and he comes for one reason and one reason only, to kill. This is his sole intent. If you don't guard against his strategies by using the wisdom of God, he'll succeed in killing everything in your life. And you know what you'll do? You'll blame God for it. But if you'll faithfully continue to grow, get to know God by his Spirit, and in part and part of that process is praying in other tongues. Folks, if you want to get to know God, let me tell you something. He is as close as your next Shonda. He'll begin to reveal himself to you. Amen. But he's got to reveal himself to you on his level, not on your terms. He doesn't talk to your unrenewed mind. He doesn't talk to your brain. Although he can, but that is not the way he does things. And you got to understand how the Spirit of God operates so you can begin to cooperate with him. If you have pursued God by the Spirit, you will not be able to look back and see that you have experienced a spiritual growth. In other words, you will grow. When I first started praying in tongues back in 2002, 2003, I mean, I went at it, man. Now, I wasn't as aggressive as Robert was, but I was praying an hour a day. Well, when I got myself established, because I'd wake up in the morning, get up to pray, Shonda 5 minutes, next thing I know, it's 6 o'clock, and I'm asleep. And that went on for a couple of weeks. But I didn't give up. Just didn't have any quitting sense. Thank God I didn't. Amen. And why am I saying that? Because some of you are struggling with it. You're struggling with it. Don't tell me you're not. We all struggle with it. Mm-hmm. But my point is this. Don't quit. Amen. That is the key. If you'll pursue God by the Spirit, you'll look back and see that you have experienced spiritual growth. You have changed for the better. You're getting to know Jesus himself as the Holy Spirit reveals him to you, and you are well on your way to fulfill your divine call as it unfolds before you. Man, I'm doing good. All right, we're going to go over to the second chapter. The second chapter is entitled Your Personal Journey to Revelation Knowledge. This is a very short chapter. I'm going to finish this, and I'm going to start with chapter 3, and then we're going to take a break. How's everybody doing so far? Amen. The thing about the first chapter is this. God's got a plan for your life. That's where you start, right there. Well, Pastor, I want to do it all in one night. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. Well, I'll go and pray in tongues all night long. It's not going to happen. I wanted the same thing. I wanted to know why it took so long. Listen, God can come down and begin to put all this stuff before you. But you know what? You won't use an ounce of faith. And you won't know how to trust him and believe him. And he will have set you back several years. That's why he doesn't do it. Why didn't Jesus, when he was crucified, when he got raised from the dead, why didn't he just raise up his hands and walk down the middle of Jerusalem and say, hey, I told you I was him. I told you. Why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? What do you tell Thomas? He said, Thomas, put your fist in my side. He says, run your fingers through my holes in my hands. And actually, it wasn't in his hands, it was in his wrists. What was he saying? He says, blessed are those that believe and have not seen. You don't get blessed when you see. And then you believe. You don't get blessed. He sets you back. And if you'll notice, how many books did Thomas write? Don't shout me down now. You got it. Huh? Thomas limited himself. He limited himself. God didn't limit Thomas. He struggled with that for most of his walk. Now, after a while, I believe he caught on and went, you know what? Look at what they're doing, what they're doing. I need to get moving here. And he did begin to walk in faith. But that he had a trouble with all this, man, because he wanted to see it with his eyes. I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to see it with your eyes first. You're going to see it by faith. If God said it, if God knew that it would change you, he would send Jesus here tonight and go, I'm going to teach the class. And he said, sit down, I'm going to teach the class. But he knows that's not the way it works. You would have no appreciation for it. Let me go on. You were not born to the world knowing how to tap into God's plan for your lives. And usually there isn't someone around that can teach you. Many of us leave home never knowing anything about the love of God or even that God loves us. Most of us leave home battered, bruised, just ripe for the devil to pick us off. But we need to know that even in this sad state that God is working for us, working to intervene, intersect our lives 24 hours a day, 7 days a week with his perfect plan. You may hear an occasional sermon. You know, most of us from the African-American community, we call it CME days. You know what CME days is? Are? You don't know what CME days are? Oh, shame on you. Christmas, Mother's Day, and Easter. That's when all y'all come to church. Well, it is. It's CME. You know what I'm talking about? You didn't know that at all, sir? Okay. All right. My bad. Okay. Well, now you know. You may hear occasional sermon like Christmas or Easter, or some may even invite you to church, but eventually the conviction of God ran you down. We may accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but if we don't understand that God has a plan for us and how to fulfill it, we will eventually return to our previous lifestyle. That's the why. We're not giving you stuff just so we can say, rule, rule, rule. No, here's the why. So that you won't turn back to the way you were. You've been wondering, God, how am I going to accomplish any of this stuff? The thing is, you can't accomplish it on your own. That's the whole gist of these meetings this weekend. Even if you remain with some denomination, you're taught religion and legalism. We're taught to believe that he's punishing us for our mistakes. Man, every time I see a movie, you know what I hear? Why did God take my mama? Why did God take my daddy? God didn't take your mama or your daddy. He ain't in the taking business. Now, I realize I'm going to get some muggy letters over that, but okay. But God ain't taking people off the earth. He doesn't do that. You have an enemy, John 10:10. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy. If your family is being destroyed, if your job is being destroyed, if your marriage is being destroyed, if your body is being destroyed, it ain't God. Amen. It's the thief. We're taught to believe that he's punishing us for our mistakes, whether intentional or not. It's like when someone says, Pastor, why did God put this cancer on me? Did I do something wrong? God didn't put that cancer on you. God didn't give me a congestive heart failure. The devil did. I veered from God some kind of way. I had to figure that out. Where did I miss it? But more than that, how do I fix it? Forget the miss. Let's fix. Yeah, I need a fix, man. I don't care about being right. I just want to fix this thing. Then he helped me out. We develop an image of God that will never measure up to his standard, and we never will. See, you develop that on the inside of you because you haven't spent time with the Holy Spirit and allow him to reveal himself to you. There's a transformation. When we first enter into the prayer closet, we have many questions that we ask. Is this really going to work? Boy, I had that question. Am I really doing something that's going to change my life? Why does it seem so difficult to change? Can a person really go deeper in God on purpose just because he wants to? What am I really accomplishing here? Is God really going to answer my prayer? Is God really going to show himself strong in me? All these questions come across your mind. You know why? Your flesh is fighting you to stop. And you know when you stop, you know what you literally do? You throw your flesh a lifeline. And you say, I'm going to let you live one more day because I ain't going to pray in tongues. Guess what's going to happen tomorrow? You're going to have another fight. Because, listen, how many of you are fasting right now? Have you heard these words? Go get a McDonald's hamburger. I only want one, a little small one. Just a little small one. You lying thing, you. You get a little small one, and he going to want a big double meat. He going to say, well, you done broke your fast. Now go on, pig out. Lying thing. Amen. Many times these questions are coming from a part of you that the devil uses to make you resist the change God has promised you in Romans 12, 1 and 2. But deep in your spirit, there is a voice reminding you that God rewards those that diligently seek him. Amen. Praying in tongues is given to us by God for our personal edification, that we would be able to pray out his mysteries. I'm going to define mysteries here in a minute. Now, here's what's going to happen if you continue praying in tongues. As you continue to edify yourself, you have an ironclad guarantee. Did you hear what I said? In other words, you can't miss that you are going to tap into the raw power of God. You can't miss. You can't miss. Now, don't start praying for a month and go, when power, God? When the power? Do you realize those tongues is just as powerful as raising the dead? It's a supernatural. It is just as supernatural as you getting born again. People wonder, where is the power of God? Here it is. That's the power of God. I just prayed mysteries. I just edified myself. I just built myself up. I just began to allow God room to come in and invade my life. That's supernatural power. But your mind will go, really? Not only me? Where's the bang and the pop? The bang and the pop gonna get you hurt. The devil's got you spoiled on bang and pop. What you need is quietness, peace, serenity, character. So when the storms of life come, you don't fold like some cheap cardboard. You stand with your loins girded about with truth. Your character's developed. And no matter what's going through, man, he's beating your kids. He's taking them out one by one. But you go, no, no, no. You can't do that just because you got a big Bible and go to a denominational church. You can do that because he's changed you on the inside. It's the only way you're going to do that. Pastor, why did this happen to me? That's your character. It needs to be perfected. But if you continue to pray in tongues, there is an ironclad guarantee that you're going to tap into the very power of God. We too will see prophecy beginning to flow in us. And we will receive revelation of our hearts that we've been seeking for so long. We will come to understand that the anointing from the Holy Spirit doesn't come because of a sovereign move of God. It doesn't come because of your calling. It doesn't come because of your creed. It doesn't come because of your color or your nationality. God doesn't like the black people anymore than he likes the white folks. God don't like the Hispanics anymore than he likes the whatever. When God gets, listen, folks, when we get to heaven, we ain't going to worry about color. Thank you, my sister pastor. She's on point. But the power of God will come because you have uncovered a spiritual law, praying in other tongues for personal edification. That law carries with it an ironclad guarantee to build you up on your most holy faith in your spirit, the part of you where faith is developed and where faith comes from. You will have found something that you can do on purpose to edify yourself as much as you want to, as long as you want to, whenever you want to. Through praying in tongues or praying in the Holy Ghost, you'll begin to build yourself up on a walk far above your physical senses. Now, church, that's where we got to go. Amen. Too many in the church today are moved by emotionalism. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pastor Craig walked by me and didn't even say a hello. Get over yourself. Come on, church. You're worrying about stuff like that. Do you realize people are dying? Do you realize kids are dying? Do you realize God's put something in you that you can walk into a hospital and run sickness and disease off? But if you're still worrying about, how come the good pastor didn't say hello to me? You know what Paul told you words in 1 Corinthians? He said, you're carnal. You're carnal. You know what carnality means? It means you walk by your five physical senses. In other words, you walk by what you see, feel, hear, all that stuff. You wake up one morning and you go, God wants to left because I feel bad. Tell your feelings to shut up. Through praying in the Holy Ghost, you'll build yourself up of a walk where your physical senses hold you in checkmate and convince you that God's word isn't so. If you will continue to pray consistently, you too will discover one of the most important keys growing in devil stomping, mountain moving faith, praying in tongues for personal edification. All righty, we're going to stop there and take about a 5 or 10 minute break. Wonders, they see people get healed, and because they have not been purged, they don't have their character established, they end up teaching something that's very kooky. They start saying the Bible has inherent errors in it. The Bible has no errors in it. Amen. There's no errors in the Word of God. The Bible lines up. It's 66 books, and all 66 books line up to one general theme. Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is simply this. He was born of a virgin. He died. He was raised from the dead. And he sits on the right hand of the Father. That, in essence, is the gospel. And those, and the Old Testament to the New Testament preach the same thing. The law, as I told you last week, the law was just simply describing who God was. It wasn't designed as do's and don'ts. The law can be summed up in one word. There you go. Love. Now, when you want to walk in love, you'll go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and you'll go, I'm going to be long-suffering, I'm going to be patient, I'm going to be kind. And you'll go through that whole list, and about halfway through the day, you'll go, oh, I'm sick and tired of loving on people. Why? Because you're trying to do it out of your own power. That love chapter are characteristics of what you will see in a person or a man or a woman that's learned how to walk in the love of God. That's all that chapter was telling you. But now we're going to talk about walking in love in the last chapter here. But the point is simply this. The foundation of what we're doing, the foundation of the church, everything that sets on, this building is how many stories high? 2 stories high? I think it's 2 stories. Well, on the bottom floor and underneath is a thing called a foundation. If that foundation cracks, we're in trouble. And many Christians don't have foundation. You go to church, you got a big Bible. That ain't your foundation. You can quote it better than I can. You got no foundation. You know why? You haven't let the third person of the Godhead reveal to you what the foundation is. And when he reveals it to you, oh my goodness, you can do everything Jesus did. That's why he said, greater works than these shall you do. Now, actually, he said greater work. The translator put that S on there. But he says greater than these. The works is italicized. It wasn't there in the original manuscript. So what he was saying was, greater than these can you do? Well, what's the greater work than what Jesus did? You look at me like a cow looking at a new gate. Name me one thing that Jesus could not do. Which, who, somebody ever said it? Couldn't get him born again. Why couldn't he get him born again? Because he hadn't gone to the cross yet. That's the greater work. That's the greater work. But you can do a greater work than Jesus. You don't think you have any power? Oh, come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. You got power flowing to you. Now, the thing is this, church. It's not just to get them born again, because there is no conversion without discipleship.
Right.
We're going to go over a book called by Bill Hull called, I think it's entitled Conversion and Discipleship. You can't have one without the other. You can't. People are saying they are Christians, but they have no foundation. And I'm not saying they're not heaven bound. But when you get to heaven, you're standing for God, and he begins to read you, he's going to go, you're going to go, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. I can't, how am I going to talk myself into the, to, you know, what you ought to say is, I made it. I'm in heaven. Glory to God, I'm in heaven. But there, I believe the tears that God wipes from their eyes will be because of what they realized, what they could have had. Okay? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, I'm going to read this to you while everybody's coming back. And God has set some in the church. Now he puts them in order. We can go over to Ephesians chapter 4, and it almost reads just like this, except for a couple of small differences. But now here in Corinthians, he's preaching to who? The Gentiles. Who is he preaching to in the book of Romans? I mean, the book of Galatians. He's talking to Jews that have been converted. So that's why it's a little bit different. But Paul is saying the same thing. He says, and God the Father has set some in the church first. It doesn't mean they're above everybody else, but it says priority is the apostle. Let me ask you a question. Why don't the fivefold ministry come to local churches anymore? Why don't the fivefold ministry, the apostle, why isn't he visiting? Are she visiting the local churches? Because that is priority. He said first. That first is not there because he didn't know what else to say. He said first and foremost is the apostle. Secondarily, see, he's telling you secondarily, is prophets. Thirdly, teachers. That's the office that I hold. Well, that doesn't make me any better than him or her or an apostle or a prophet. But if what he's saying is, this is crucial in the body of Christ. After that, everybody say, after that.
Amen.
Now, does after that come before that or it's come after that?
Amen.
It comes after. After that comes miracles. Then gifts of healings, helps, governments. And what is the last one? The diversity of tongues. Now, that's where we're getting ready to zero in on. Now, diversity of tongues is listed last because it is the foundational operation. As I said earlier, this building has a foundation. If the foundation is weak, the structure won't stand the test of time, nor weather the storms that beat against it. In the same way, diversity of tongues is the operation that the other seven rest upon. So until you get this first one, the foundation one, you don't have any business trying to pursue any of the rest of them. The dividing line between those who enjoy the power of God and those who don't is the eighth operation of God called the diversity of tongues. What you will notice is this, and there are a few exceptions, but what you will notice is this. People that don't pray in tongues, don't speak in tongues, primarily don't operate in the gifts either. On the other hand, people who do speak with tongues, more often than not, they operate in spiritual gifts. Let me say this, folks. Quit studying up on spiritual gifts. They are called gifts. Just because you studied me, that means I'm going to give you a gift. I want you to get this stuff. I give you a gift because I love you. I give you a gift because it means something. God gives gifts because there's a reason for it. Quit trying to get God to give you something that he hasn't given you. He's giving it to the church. Not only is diversity of tongues the dividing line, but it's actually the entry level. In other words, if you are looking to start a ministry, this is where you ought to enter, right here. Because people won't be able to come against you and tear you apart because you speak something and they go, well, I don't think it's in the Bible. If you've got a foundation on the inside of you, God will rise up and tell you what to say. But without that foundation, you're just sitting there going, bah, 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 and you're fighting and you're arguing with people. Listen, folks, I don't argue the Bible with anybody. I don't have to. It argues for itself. Why? Brother Craig, what about homosexuality? What does the Bible say? Whatever it says, what I say. Bottom line. If he says it's an abomination, it's an abomination. Where'd they come to your meeting? I'm going to still preach it. I ain't changed my message because you come to my meeting. Listen, don't come back. Sorry, Robert. That's how I feel about it. God didn't get me up here to teach what you wanted. Okay? If I love what you want me to do, then I'll do what you say. No, I love him first. I don't love you. I love him. Now, I want to love you, but you better get to loving on him first. Because once you love him, I'll love you. But if you don't love him, we ain't going to have much to talk about. Because you're going to try and talk me out of what he's given me, and I'm not going to let it go. It is the switch. Tongues is the switch we're looking for that pulls the operation we call out of the natural realm into the supernatural realm. Why is that? Because speaking in tongues is designed to equip us from the inside out. It affects the part of us in which all permanent change comes from. Folks, you don't change yourself because you go to a Bible study. You change yourself because you go to a Bible study and you begin to apply what you learned at the Bible study. How? Via the Holy Ghost. As you spend time with him, you'll say, I don't understand this truth. Explain it to me. He goes, hold on. I got to start you at the beginning. And he'll take you step by step by step until he begins to reveal it to you. And you go, I got it. Now, here's the thing. When you do that, nobody can talk you out of it. See, you can't talk me out of tongues. They've tried. Hey, one guy said, Pansy Craig, if I pray in tongues, if I got all these problems, and I pray in tongues for an hour, will I still have the problems when I'm done? I looked at him, I said, you a fool. You don't know nothing about tongues, man. You don't know nothing about tongues. And I mean it respectfully. You know nothing about tongues. Nothing. Because if you knew, you would think, he's got the answer inside there. Amen. And the more I pray in tongues, he's going to give me the answer. See, you can't hear him up here. See, the reason why the world doesn't like tongues and all this Holy Spirit stuff, because people like us just preached it wrong a long time ago. We teach foolishness because we want you to like us and give big offerings. I don't care. Don't give. So if a person refuses the eighth operation of tongues, he won't have the spiritual empowerment. See, God empowers his people. God empowers you. And the way he empowers you is from the inside. He doesn't empower you by dropping down lightning bolts. And I'm great that dust falls in some people's ministry. I'm glad that you feel honey rolling down your back. I get all that. But does that get anybody healed? Huh? You know, when I hear, man, the dust fell in our meeting. Well, how many did you get healed? Well, brother, the dust fell, Brother Craig. How many did you get healed? We didn't get any of them healed. So what was the purpose of the dust? You see how silly it sounds when you begin to analyze this stuff? I don't care about dust falling from the ceiling. I don't care about how many teeth get filled with gold while you're hit under my ministry. What I care about is who gets healed. Amen. Who gets changed? That's what matters. That's where we are. Now, if I can get all the gold dust. Now, side note, when they get the gold dust, what they find out what it is? It's glitter. As you pray in tongues, God will build an operation on the inside of you to qualify you for what he has called you to do. What he has called you to do. As he does, gifts begin to operate through you that equip you for your particular call. The gift that he has developed in me is the gift of healing and prophecy. Man, the other night I began to flow in prophecy. And I'm going, I don't know where this is coming from. But all I heard was this. Every word, and I began to speak. And what he was saying was, every word that we prayed that night is going to come to pass. Y'all ought to come to them prayer meetings. I'm trying to tell you, you're missing out. But many of you, you know why you don't have, I'm going to get to this in tomorrow. You know why most people don't pray? Because you got a ton full of flesh. You got 17 tons of metric flesh. 17 metric tons of flesh weighing you down. And when you go over there and pray, the devil reaches up and grabs one of them and goes, if you go back, I will hurt you. So you don't go back. Listen, you don't think he tried to talk me out of it too? And how long we been praying over there? Anybody know? It ain't been one or two. It's been a while. And listen, and we started praying on a, what do you call those things? Conference call. Conference call. That's how sold out we were. I'm telling you, if you begin to pray in tongues, he'll find a way for your calling to come through. And when we begin to pray in tongues on that conference call, we begin to pray, God, give us the perfect place to pray. And he did it. Amen. He did it. Amen. The perfect place to pray. Amen. Oh, that was good. If I pray in the Holy Ghost a lot, God's going to equip me with the graces and gifts of the Spirit that I need to fulfill my call, which is to teach. That's my calling. This is why the enemy doesn't want you to pray in tongues. In fact, the less you find out about the foundation operation, the better he likes it. He doesn't care if you play being an apostle. He don't care if you play being a prophet. He don't care if you want to wear the title of an evangelist. As long as you never qualify for these offices with the power and gifts of the Holy Spirit and nothing happens in your ministry so far as people's lives being changed by the power of God, he don't care. And folks, I'm sad to say, there are ministries. One day the Holy Spirit told me this. There are big name ministries. Big name ministries. The Holy Ghost doesn't operate in them. Now they're big. They got money coming from every direction. They're big. But they have no power. You know why folks won't go to the hospital anymore? Because you're tired of seeing them not getting healed. But send me to a hospital. I'm ready to go. Because I'm walking in there and I'm going to expect change. That's power. And that's what we got to get back to. The devil is a tactical genius. If he can't remove tongues from some part of the church, then he goes to plan number two. He tries to cause believers to enter into such fanaticism about tongues and hold such unruly and out-of-order services that the sinner doesn't want much to do with them. Satan's strategy is to confuse the use of tongues so greatly that the operation loses its effectiveness and credibility in the eyes of those who have been deceived by its misuse. Now, that's the church. And there are some churches that have said, I don't want tongues near my building. I just want that to sit there for a while. Because when you come tomorrow afternoon, I'll be sitting right there, and I'll be praying in other tongues. When you come Saturday morning, if you come, I'll be sitting right there praying in other tongues. Why? I know what it'll do. Now, every believer said that includes me. And you say it like you mean it then. Now, we just read the eight operations of God. Let me read them to you again. First, apostles, the apostle. Secondarily, prophet. Thirdly, teacher. Next, miracles. Next, gift of healings. Next, helps. Next, governments, and next, diversity of tongues. Everybody in this room, you fit somewhere in that play, in that category of offices. You fit in there somewhere. And it's not to sit on a pew and dump your offering into a bucket. That's not what you've been called to do. And there's nothing wrong with giving. I'm not putting that down, but that ain't your calling. Your calling is to come in and allow the Holy Spirit to change you so you can engage in the office or the place that he's called you to sit in. And then the church will no longer be feeble. But the church is feeble because most people cannot. Do I dare say it? I'm going to say it. 95% of the church don't do nothing for God. Oh, now you go past our tracks. You go by the children's ministry and you'll volunteer for an hour a day. But when somebody says, man, I got a crisis, call Pastor Craig. What about you? You know why not you? Because you've got nothing working on the inside of you and you know it. Don't shut me down now. I realize I'm getting in your face and you may not come back tomorrow night. I'm okay with it. I'll preach these chairs. Doesn't make me a lick of difference. The reason God gave us the eighth operation, the diversity of tongues, is to help us discover his perfect plan for our lives. It is true there's supernatural language we call tongues that God has given to us, and he prays through us by the Holy Spirit. God imparts into our spirits the mysteries hidden in him. Hidden in him who? Hidden in Jesus throughout all the ages. Christ in us, the hope of glory. 1 Colossians 1:27. Thank God for divine assistance in finding our place in this great plan. And that is the end of chapter. So now we're going to go to chapter 4. Okay? The only thing I want you to get out of chapter 3 is simply this. There are 8 offices and 9 operations of God, 9 gifts of the Spirit. Here's what I want you to understand. When you are put in one of those offices, you're going to have some power to back it up, baby. That's how you know you've been called. If you ain't got a power, you don't have one of those gifts working in your life, you ain't been called. See, a guy that says, I'm an apostle. Okay. I operate in the gifts then. Let's go raise the dead. You're an apostle? What's my name? See, if you're an apostle, you operate in those gifts. If you don't operate in those gifts, you're not an apostle. A buddy of mine used to say this. He says, some are called, some are sent. And some just got up and went. You wanted them to got up and went. And folks, that's playing church. You're going to hurt yourself. You are deceiving yourself. You're going to get in trouble. You have no power. You've got no business doing that. If when God calls you to an office, one of those 8 offices, he will give you those gifts. And those gifts, they say, this is my son. This is my daughter. And this is why she backs up who she says she is. That's how you know. So when you go see an evangelist, you ought to go, we're going to see a show tonight. The guy preaches a service. He's all wet. He's been spitting. He's been getting after it. And he goes, we're going to take up an offering and dismiss. Whoa, 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 Mr. Evangelist. Where are the gifts? Where are the gifts? When we don't have time tonight. All right, well, we'll give you another chance. We'll try tomorrow night. But if I never see any gifts, you ain't what you say you are. You see how the church doesn't have to be deceived any longer? That's why God put those gifts in there. Listen, until I begin to flow in those gifts, I would not call myself a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist. I wouldn't do it. That's not who I am. Why? I don't have any power. He ain't put anything behind me, man. He's put nothing behind me. But now I'm going, okay, so what's the next step? He'll say, when you get the gift, you'll know, won't you? I guess you're right, sir. I guess you're right. All right, let's get back to business here. Now, I'm going to cover a subject here that's sadly understood in the body of Christ. And a gentleman came up a while ago and he asked me about this. And I said, if you just sit tight, I'm going to answer your question in a few moments. The 4 diversities of tongues. Now, what does diversity mean? It means different, but there means they are not all the same. And you're right, they are different, but they are diverse. So let me ask you a question. How many of you know what baseball is? Come on, you know what baseball is. I didn't say you play baseball, but you know what it is. How many of you know what football is? All right. Let me ask you a question. What if we wanted to play baseball on a football field? And see, all you're shaking your head like, no, Pastor. Why not? Why not? Different and rules, right? Yep. Why? Because in football, we score throwing a football. In baseball, we hit a ball to a certain part of the field. Isn't that right? So let me ask you a question. Then why do we run all the tongues in one big loop? Mm-hmm. See, the confusion is this. You don't know what tongues for personification is. Tongues is a sign of an unbeliever. Tongues for groaning that cannot be uttered. And tongues for prophecy. You've rolled all those tongues in one big ball and went, you can't pray in tongues until somebody can interpret it. You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't studied your Bible. You've had some preacher teach you that, and you call it gospel, and you should have went back and read it yourself. Lazy one, forgive me. And I'm talking to myself because I was in the same boat. You got to go back and study these things. Why? The Holy Spirit doesn't want you to just sit in the class and go, yeah, yeah, yeah. No, he wants you to go home and say, now ask me about that so I can show you exactly what I meant. A lady came up a while ago and she says, for the first time I understood what you meant by the law of lift and the law of sin and death. I get it because it works every time. Now, it wasn't because I've been saying it for several years. But it just clicked. You know why it clicked? Because the Holy Spirit just revealed it to her. Yeah. That's what he does. He wants you to be able to know, not because I said so, but because God told you so. So when someone goes, no, that's not right, you go, bet me. Let's go to God and find out. Well, you know how to go to God, but they can't. So you go in and find out, and they're left on the outside going, well, how do I get in? See, you don't know what you're talking about. So we want to talk about these diversity of tongue. There is very little taught in church today regarding diversity of tongues. Mainly the reason is there is little to no understanding about the operation of the Spirit. See, until you spend time with the Holy Ghost, you don't understand his operation. Many attempt to understand the working of the Spirit by their natural understanding. Folks, you cannot read the Bible with your natural understanding. You will be confused. You have to allow the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal it to you. Is your wife doing okay? She's all right? Okay. All right. I understand. I just make sure she's not. One time she sat there and I saw her like she's kind of like sleeping. I'm going, man, she was had a hard day. When we got done preaching, she was having a migraine. And I went, oh, God, forgive me. We could have fixed that. But if you were here that night, migraines don't stand in my presence. Amen. Come on now, somebody. Amen. We believe in healing here. I said, we believe in healing here. I'm not ashamed of it. You may be. I'm not ashamed of it. That's part of the gift that God's given us. Amen. We believe in it. Amen. Now, are you saying 100% of the time they get healed? Not always. I got this gentleman back here. I'm finna go lay hands on his eyes again. I'm going to keep working on their eyes until they open up. Amen. Now, he may quit coming because the devil's going to talk him out of it, but I ain't giving up. Because Jesus said, you lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Well, it ain't his fault. It's my fault. And I'm going to keep talking to them eyes until they open up. Amen. Pastor, you're nuts. Well, call me anything you want to call me. But that's where I'm at. And I can't be changed. Your unregenerated mind thinks it's foolish to speak in a language that you can neither understand or interpret. You don't think that God could enlighten you this way. Let's talk about the diversity of tongues. Can anybody name me, and I named them a while ago, can anybody name me the four diversity of tongues? Anybody? Even one of my students that been around me for a while. Go ahead.
Tongues for
personal
application.
Yeah.
Tongues for groaning.
Can
that be other?
Go ahead.
Tongues for prophecy.
Yes.
And tongues for
bad. Go ahead on with y'all bad self. Y'all making a brother proud. All right. Let's talk about tongues to personification. It can be found in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. I'm going over them right now. The first one is tongues for personal edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. And if you're in your book, we're in chapter 5. If you're in your book, we're in chapter 5. Moving right along, ain't we? Getting this train on the road.
Amen.
This is the supernatural language that the Holy Spirit prays through us that we can use to pray hour after hour as we desire. It accompanies the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That is the first diversity of tongues. Tongues for personal edification. You can pray in this language anytime you want to, just because you want to, for however long you want to. Anytime. Now we're going to get into the next three, and they cannot be used when you want to use them. They are given to you as the Holy Spirit wills. Don't shout me down now. They're going to only be used when he gives them to you. Now, there's the second one you can kind of initiate, but the only one that you can turn on and turn off anytime you want to is tongues for personal edification. So if I say, and Robert says, what did you say? I don't know. Ask him. All I know is this. I just prayed divine mysteries, and God will reveal them to me through revelation knowledge. Every prayer that you pray is designed by God. Every scriptural prayer that you prayed is designed by God to be answered. Every single one of them. Every single prayer. A prayer in tongues is designed by God to be answered. And when does God answer your prayers? And I said, when? Oh, come on, folks. When does God answer your prayers? All right, here we go. When Daniel prayed, when was his prayer answered the first time? When he prayed the second time, when was his prayer answered? Then why would yours be answered whenever he got ready to? Don't shout me down. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. Now, the church doesn't understand what all means. All means all. All means he didn't leave anything out. All is all. Tongues for personal edification. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 4. The second one is tongues for interpretation. Tongues for interpretation. If Robert says, Pastor, I have a message in tongues, and I would say, Robert, go, and he would begin to speak in tongues, and he'd get finished, and I would say, now, somebody listen to your heart, because you may have the interpretation. If nobody stood up, then guess what I would do? I would ask God, you want me to answer that? And he would say, yes, and I would begin to answer it with understanding. That is tongues for interpretation. 1 Corinthians 14, 5. This manifestation of tongues is normally presented in a public assembly. Now listen, normally, Robert and I can be praying privately. He and I praying. And Robert goes, man, I got a message. I have a message in tongues. And he gives it out. Either he or I should be able to interpret it. Why? The Holy Ghost doesn't give you a message if nobody's there to interpret it. So he knows when he gives the when he prompts someone, I'm thinking about what Cheryl always told me. Cheryl says when she's sitting in an audience, she said it starts coming on her, and she goes, "I gotta say something," and that's really how it is. It's like if I sit here and be quiet, I can't stand it. And after a while, once you begin to hear that voice, you'll go, "I gotta say something." But now, it's not that you can't control it. It's just that you know he wants to say something. He wants to speak. God wants to speak. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you this. There's coming a time when we come in here to teach, and all we're going to have is prophecies. Because everybody in here is going to be prophesying. Everybody in this room is going to be prophesying. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We ain't going to allow no kookiness. We ain't allow no flesh. Because we will shut the flesh down fast. But we want you to prophesy. What is prophecy? It is just the present day mind of Christ. That's all it is. Prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. But now you get them go, the world's coming to an end. Houston's going to have a flood. Houston's going to be hit by a hurricane. Sit down. That ain't God talking. You're talking to the wrong God. It ain't God the Father. Sit down. You don't know what you're talking about. God doesn't do that. Now God may say, I'm warning you of an impending danger. And why is he warning you? He wants you to pray against the thing and stop it. Well, I got enough sense to know. I done seen too many hurricanes destroy Houston, Texas. And I'm going, enough of this, God. I see what you want us to do is to come against it before it happens. When do you come against it? When you're in the season? No, before the season starts. So here in the next couple of weeks or months, we're going to start what? Coming against hurricanes.
Amen.
Why? We know it works. Amen?
Amen.
That's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 5, tongues for interpretation. Am I going too fast? Okay, number three, tongues for deep intercession of groanings. Now, I'm going to have to spend a little more time to go over this one, but let me give you the definition. This diversification of tongues empowers the believers to stand in the gap for their own lives, their families, their church, their city, their nation, so on and so forth. God may also call on them to intercede for someone or some situation that is totally unknown to them. Let me give you an example. A friend of mine gave me this book four times. Four times. And I blew him off. Four times. So he went home the third time and he began to pray. And God put him over in groanings that cannot be uttered. And he began to groan. He said, man, I was bowing over. He says, I knew I was praying for something, but I didn't know what it was. He said, all I could see was your face and one other person. He said, but I can tell you this. When I brought that book to you the very next day, you act like you had never seen it before. And I read it from cover to cover. Tongues. He stood in the gap for me because he knew I was resisting God in a certain area. Folks, there's an incredible amount of power on the inside of you.
Amen.
Now listen, you can't start that groaning when you want to. That groaning comes as the Spirit wills. So you come in here and we're having our prayer time and you start going, oh, you ain't groaning, you faking. Now I'm just being real with you. We're not gonna have no kookiness in this class. I done been around the block a few times, but I know how this stuff works. But now listen, here's when the groanings come. You've been praying in tongues for a while, maybe an hour or so. And for some reason, you just can't quit. You know you're working on something. Well, what God is saying is this. Son, the thing that you're working on is too big for you. You haven't matured enough in your character enough. So what I want to do is I want to lend you my power. And I'm going to infuse you with my power to come against this thing. And now, when God gets involved in it, you can pack your saddle home. It's done. It's done. Now, what if the church, we were to pray like that over our loved ones? What if we were to come down here at this place on a Friday night, clock in about 7 o'clock, and just begin to pray in tongues until midnight, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning? I wonder what kind of groanings would come on us. But you know what you would say? That's my date night. That's my movie night. Painter? We're going to be here at 2 o'clock in the morning? Seriously? Pastor? Why does it take so long? See, you're talking yourself out of the power. And this power is available to us.
Amen.
Man, I prayed sometimes in my bedroom, and she's laying over there next to me. I got to get them go, I got to get out of here because I'm about to start the groaning, man. It just comes on you. And whatever it is, God's getting you to move. Sometimes you don't know what you're praying for. You're praying for someone, something, or a gathering. You don't really know, but you know he's not letting you stop. It's just inside you, and you can't turn it off. In fact, you don't want to turn it off because you're going, I want more of this. I want some more of this. Well, sometimes you can get some more, but you got to go, God, stop. I can't stand anymore. I told him sometimes, hey, you got to stop. I got to get used to this, man. I can't handle this. And he's not disappointed in that. He wants me to grow. He's trying to stretch me. I'm not ashamed to tell you that. That's how you grow. But I can tell you this. I'm not sucking my thumb anymore either in the realm of the Spirit. I know some things. I'm not bragging on me. I'm telling you I know some things. Why? I spent time with him. Tongues. For intercessional groanings. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. We don't know how to pray as we ought to pray. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered.
Amen.
And many of you say, well, I can show you another part in the book of Romans. It says the whole earth groans. Do you realize the earth is groaning right now? Where do you think them earthquakes and hurricanes are coming from? All the sin in the earth. There ain't no global warming. They're just a global sin. That's what this is. The sin has stacked up in this earth so much, you're beginning to see the effects of it. The wages of sin is death. The last one. Tongues is a sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. No, I'm not going to use that one. Go over to Acts chapter 2, verse. Somebody help me here. Go to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 2. Yes, ma'am. Verse 4. Go ahead and read the thing. Go ahead. Okay, good. Acts chapter 2, verse 4. Somebody read that. Go down to verse 8 or 9. Go. Anybody. Stop. When you're trying to get somebody filled with the Holy Ghost, they got to speak. The Holy Spirit doesn't take your lips and go, doesn't do that. You have to speak. But the Holy Ghost gives you utterances. Go. Now, there were, in other words, there were people there that didn't speak their tongue. Go. Stop. Let me tell you what happened. They're sitting in this room, and God says, son, let him loose. Send the Holy Ghost to the earth. And that thing, he came in like a mighty rushing wind. And the Bible says, like cloven tongues of fire set upon them. Let me tell you something. Forget about those little pictures you saw with a little bit of dab of fire. No, it was fire. It was fire on top of them. They were burning up, man, but it was good. And it set upon them. And when they got so full, they began to speak in tongues. They began to utter these things. And everybody in that city said, what is this commotion going on? And some of them that heard the commotion, they said, listen, I understand what they're saying. I understand what he's saying. But he's not my nationality. How do I understand him? Tongues. Tongues as a sign to the unbeliever. What does that mean? Well, let's say I went to Mexico. You speak Spanish? Okay. I took Miss Dora with me. And we're in this Mexico City, man. We're in this little village. And I'm preaching up a storm. And she's interpreting. And she gets so full of God, she just passes out. I mean, she just goes under the Spirit, and she just collapses. And I'm going, where's the interpreter? And she's laid out, slaying on stage. I mean, she's out. And I go, Brona Creste, que no moraranda. And everybody in that place goes, I understand him. It's going to happen, folks. It's going to happen. It's already happened in many ministries. It's happening. The reason why it didn't happen more, because we don't have the first foundation called diversity of tongues. We don't spend time praying in it. And if God can't, if you don't know how he operates, he'll tell you to speak in tongues and you go, but they can't understand me. He's like, just speak, but they won't understand me. I said, speak! And you'll be speaking your native language and they'll be going, what in the world? But if you use faith and begin to pray in tongues, they'll go, we understand you. I have been praying in some circles. I think you were one of them. He says, when you learn how to speak Spanish? I said, I don't speak Spanish. I lick of Spanish. I got si, que paso, como está, bendecidos. That's about it. Oh, poquito. Okay, got that one. All right, huh?
Tacos.
Whatever. But at any rate, I've been praying, and he'll say, you were speaking Spanish. I don't speak any Spanish. But what is that? That's that language of tongues. That's the interpretation. That is tongues as a sign to an unbeliever. He's hearing that. I don't know that, but he's hearing that. Now, somebody else that speaks Spanish heard that, they will go, how does he know Spanish like that? Well, I don't. But for them, it's a sign to the unbeliever. And we're going to see more of that.
Amen.
It's going to happen more and more in our midst. the more we begin to allow God to edify us. Amen?
Amen.
So, in these last 10 minutes, let me say this. The rules that govern tongues for personal edification are as different as day and night from the rules that govern tongues for interpretation. For that matter, the rules governing the deep intercessional groanings of the Spirit are completely different than any one of the other two manifestations of tongues. So here's what I want you to do. I hope you wrote these verses down. I hope you highlighted them. Take them home and begin to pray over them in your prayer time. And begin to ask God to give you a revelation of them. So the next time someone says, you can't pray in tongues when you want to, say, you don't know nothing about tongues, do you? What are they telling you? I don't have the diversity of tongues. I don't have the tongues for personal edification. I don't use that gift at all, Pastor. That's what you're telling me. And there's so many ignorant people, I'm not calling them ignorant, but they are ignorant of tongues for personal edification. I've heard some kooky stories. And you know where it comes from? Preachers who did not know what they were talking about. And I'm one of them. Listen, let me say this to the prison team. I'm not getting on you. But we're not going to teach on tongues again until we sit down and talk. Okay? There's an order. If we were to have an altar call here tonight, I could have an altar call and said, okay, anybody that is speaking tongues, stand up, and you're going to speak in tongues. What's going to happen to those people? Most ain't going to get up. The others are going to be too embarrassed to speak. So the thing is, you got to teach on it first. And you got to teach the foundations. And then you got to pull them aside and say, do you want to receive? You can't make anybody receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. No more than I can make somebody get born again. You got to want it. And if you don't want it, well, I don't want to give it to you.
Amen.
And if you don't get it, well, I love you just as much.
Mm-hmm.
But don't hate me when I start flowing in the gifts of the Spirit. Don't look at me like he's kind of kooky. No, you're the kooky one in the kingdom of God. But again, we got to know what we're talking about. Most people explain tongues as, explanations that I hear about tongues, I wouldn't want it when you got done telling me about it. I don't want it. You're going to receive power. Well, really? How come I can't have power? Because I got Jesus. But you understand, you're going to receive power. Well, who is Jesus? I thought he was the power. Well, he is. What kind of power are you talking about? I'm talking about power. Wait a minute. If Jesus got power and Holy Ghost got power, well, whose power should I have? And see, we laugh, but that's how confusing you sound.
Yeah.
And you tell people, well, just open your mouth and say something because he says here in Acts, you should say something. No. When those guys were in an upper room, the Holy Ghost was getting them ready for that moment. Jesus had already prompted them. He was teaching on the Holy Ghost. He told him he was coming. He told him who he was. Jesus taught about him. Listen, just because you only see a few incidences written in the Bible where Jesus talked about the Holy Ghost, trust me, he talked about it a lot. More than we see written. And he taught them and he taught them. Why do you think a guy like Stephen and Philip went up to, where was it? They left Jerusalem, was it Antioch? And man, they were just having signs and wonders. And they were operating in such power. You're like, they were operating in more power than the apostles were. Why was that? Because they were hanging around Jesus and they saw what he did. And they were doing what they saw him do. They were stepping out in faith. And trust me. When it says that they were in prayer, do you think they were praying, oh God, help us, oh God, if you will, oh God, please? When they talk about prayer in the New Testament, what kind of prayer do you think they were talking about? When Paul says, I always mention you in my prayers, you think Paul was praying in English all the time? Listen, everywhere Paul went, he walked. And I can just see him. There's like five or six of them. They're walking to someplace. And Paul's in the very back, and he's back there. They said, Paul, what'd you say? Paul said, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking to him. Now keep walking. But everywhere he went, he prayed in tongues. Why? That's how he got edified. That's how he wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. He said, I thank my God I pray in tongues more than you all. Was he bragging? Nah. He was just saying, the source of my revelation knowledge is praying in those other tongues. That's how I get what I'm doing. Listen, if you really go back and read Paul's letters, Paul really didn't start preaching the next day he got knocked off of his horse. The next day he got converted, he didn't go preaching. In some cases, it says it was 5 years. In some, it says it was 15 years. What was Paul doing? And Jesus would come and I just said, Paul, wake up. Yes, sir. Because he said, I was in the spirit one day. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. In other words, he was in a place he had never been before. And Jesus was saying, listen now, this is what this means. This is what that means. Jesus came and personally apostled Paul. Now, Paul murdered the church. Well, how many people did you kill? That too. But how many have you killed with a weapon? Huh? You haven't killed anybody. If God can do this to somebody that was killing the church, what can God do for you? The difference is between you and Paul, he spends a lot of time praying in tongues. He didn't allow anybody that day to talk him out of it. He wasn't about saying it had died with the last apostle. He didn't care about any of that. Why? Because he had been receiving revelation, knowledge. He was teaching and preaching, and they were going, man, where are you getting this stuff? He says, it's very simple. Praying in those other tongues. Folks, if you want the power to come back into your churches, you want the power to come back into your lives, start praying in the Spirit. And let me tell you something. I'm going to talk about this in the next couple of days. Praying in tongues when you have a crisis ain't enough. When I was a young pastor on staff at the church I'm with now, I went around and I polled. When I first got this message, I went around to about 50 to 60 people and I asked them these questions. You got the baptism? Yep. How often do you pray? What do you think was the response? Now I'm in a tongue talking, Bible believing, word preaching, miracle flowing church. How much do you think the people that I interviewed, how much did they pray a day? Here were the responses I got. Well, brother, I pray right before I eat. Okay. Another response. Well, I pray when there's something going on in my life. How long is that? Oh, maybe 2, 3, 5 minutes tops. You ever pray for an hour? Oh, what? Nah. Why not? You don't have to, Brother Craig. Seriously, no. The grace of God takes care of all that. That's works, Pastor. You're working. You're trying to bargain God to do, getting God to do something for you because you pray in tongues. Well, that would be right if that's what I did. If I prayed in tongues and with God, where's my new Lexus 460L, the pearl white Lexus? Where is it at? Because I done prayed in tongues for a couple of days. I mean, come on. Surely I'd be able to do something with that. Yeah, then that is works. But when I'm agreeing with the Holy Spirit and I'm entering into a time with Him so He can teach me some things. But the responses, they really shocked me, because what it was telling me is people were not praying in the Spirit. They were praying at their leisure. The enemy had talked a mass body of people out of praying in tongues. Well, let me tell you something. I got to hold this message. And I began to pray in the Spirit. And God began to impregnate me with a vision. And the vision was this meeting. Actually, He gave me the vision several years ago. And He gave it to me again after I had been praying in tongues for about 2, 3 years. And I said, well, I'll just do it here. And He was okay with that. Well, something happened and that got shut down. And He asked me, now, what are you going to do next? I said, I don't know. He says, well, you've been called to do this. Yeah, but we'll get to it. Well, I had somebody in the natural, and every week when I met with her, when you going to get Bible study? When you going to get Bible study? You know God called you, you know you're supposed to. And I'm like, well, she just leave me alone. But it was God working through her, trying to get me to do what was right. And that thing was, it was in me, man. It was just, I was like, I got to do something with this. Man, one day I called Robert and Mary and I said, listen, y'all meet me at the hotel because I done had enough of this. I'm tired of fighting God. And listen, folks, there's an old saying in the Baptist church. You can't box for God because your arms are too short. Yeah, it's true. But the bottom line was, I said, Robert, Mary, I said, here's where I'm going. I'm not saying you have to come with me, but I'm going. And I'm stepping out in faith. And I said, I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do this. Now, they got a hold of the vision because God had been speaking to them. And we sat down and we said, okay, let's start this. And what is it now? Almost 2.5 years, going on 3 years. It'll be 3 years in the month of June. Look what God has done. And folks, I'm going to tell you something. We don't advertise. We don't try to get our... I don't care. Now, he asked me one time, could he put it on Facebook? I said, I don't care. No, she did. Some lady back here asked me that, yeah. But he videoed it one day and put it on Facebook. Listen, folks, we're not trying to spread the word through the media. You know how I'm going to spread the word? When you eat a good... Huh? Let me ask you a question. You go to a good restaurant, and I see you the day after. What are you going to tell me? Man, I went to a good restaurant. I had a great steak. When you start eating here, that's what you're going to do.
Amen.
You're going to start telling people.
Amen.
When the word of God begins to work in your life, I'm not bragging on me, I'm bragging on God. You're going to go, I got to get more of that. And there's going to be a day, this room's going to be packed out. And you're going to wonder, how come I can't get in? Why is it not an overflow room? How come I can't get in there?
Amen.
Because you should have been partaking when the place was half empty. But I'm telling you, you hide and watch. By the end of this year, this board is going to have to make a decision. What do we do? Because we are about to grow out of this place.
I agree.
And I'm telling you something. I ain't been asking anybody to come. I've had people on staff. So where's your Bible study? I go, what Bible study? They say, your Bible study. You don't want to come to that. Seriously, you think I'm joking? I downplay it. I don't want you to come to my Bible study. You go to the Bible study at your church. You know why? Because all I want are people that are sincere and want to change their world. I don't want groupies. I don't want people hanging around me because I want to be around Patrick Craig. I want to be around Robert. I want to be around so-and-so. Go get a life. I don't want to be around you. But I want to rub it. If you want to walk in the power of God, let's rub elbows together. Because we'll change a community. We'll change a city. We'll colonize this area. That's what I want to hear. You want to spread the word? Spread the word that way. Amen? I'm going to stop right there. I think I did good. We went through 5 chapters. God is good. We're going to go through 5 more tomorrow night. Now, tomorrow night's going to get a little bit tougher. It's going to get, and you're going to have to hang with me because we're going to start going from revelation to revelation to revelation. We're going to talk about how Paul got his revelation. The long and short of it all is praying in them other tongues. But we're going to show you the process. Also, we're going to teach you the process of becoming an intercessor. God is looking for more intercessors, folks. But listen, here's why most intercessory teams fail. And ours didn't. You know why the intercessor prayer team that we're at, you know why it didn't? You know why it didn't fail? Because God got me pregnant with it first. And when I got pregnant with it, we start doing it. If they didn't show up, I've had people say, we're having prayer tonight. It's raining outside. If you don't want to come, don't come. I'll be there. Why? I'm pregnant. I birthed the thing. I'm going to be there. Why? When God begins to invade your life, it doesn't matter who don't go with you. Stay home. I'm going on. That's what the Apostle Paul was saying. You don't want this? Stay behind. But I'm going on. That's where I'm at. And don't get mad at me when you think you're all that. No, I really don't. I really don't. But I'm just telling you this. If the church of Jesus Christ is going to change the world here in Houston, Texas, you got to get some backbone. You got to quit playing church. You got to quit when your feelings get hurt. They sat in my chair, Pastor. Pastor, I sit right there. They know I sit there. They sit there. Pastor, they sit in my seat. Grow up. Grow up. Pastor, it's too far for me to drive over there on the north side of town. Now get this. You stand before God. God, you didn't send me anybody. There was a fast-talking black man over there in North Houston. You could have went over there and sat down, but you said it was too far. Seriously, you're going to tell God that? I don't think so. I don't think so. You're not going to be able to tell God anything. What you're going to say is, thank you, sir, that I made it. I'm glad I'm here. Where do I go? Who do I report to? What do I do next? Why is Vivian over there? Because she laid down her life for me. She paid the price. We're going to be surprised who gets rewards and who don't. You're going to be surprised from the big name preachers you've been watching on television. They're going to get a reward smaller than yours. Don't shout me down now. I'm not telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. God is not impressed by how big your congregation is. He's impressed about how they change and how they grow. He don't care about you. He doesn't give a hill of beans about the fluff you're teaching them, so they can just keep giving and giving and giving and giving. No. He's not interested in that. What he's interested in are they growing. And I can tell you this. You stick around here, you're going to grow or you ain't coming back. You're not going to come back. The message I preach, it's going to sharpen you up. You're going to go deeper because you don't want this kind of... Go down to the first church on the north side, the north corner. They got a message for you. Here, it's Jesus Christ, him crucified and risen. And the power of God resides on the inside of us. And we're going to change some things. Amen. We're not going to be pew warmers any longer. We're going to change some things. Amen? Does anybody here need prayer tonight? Go ahead now. Yes.
For surely saith God, the earth, yes, is groaning because of the weight of sin.
Thank
you.
Mm.
But I say unto you, my people, you will have the weight of the glory in your life.
Glory to God.
Therefore, groanings and intercession will come forth out of your spirit.
Yes.
And it will happen.
Thank
in
you,
a
Father.
Measure. Never been seen in this.
Glory to God.
Therefore, open your ears and have your spiritual eyes awake and open. For I am speaking truths that will endure forever.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give him some praise. Give him some praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We worship you. We honor your name. We bless your name. Now let me teach you something. Let me teach you something. When you hear a message like that, I know you want to clap, but the response in the realm of the Spirit is to give him praise. It's to give him praise. I'm not going to fault you for clapping because I know that's what you've been taught to do. But if you want the Spirit to continue to settle down here and do some things, learn not to grieve him. Give Jesus the praise for that message. And Father, we thank you for that. Glory to God. Boy, that'll make you excited. Your wood's wet. You need something. There's something wrong with you. It's good stuff, man.